The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it.
Well, just yesterday, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar compared the pandemic to a war or invasion. This week, we officially entered a recession. It's getting tough for workers in all sectors, but especially in retail, travel and hospitality. The Debenhams workers have maintained pickets since April. And of course, there are others very much on the front line of this pandemic. And we're joined by liquidator Declan De Lacy of PFK, Jack Kenny, co-owner of One Life Fitness Gyms, and Ethel Buckley of SIP2. You're all very welcome to the programme this morning. Declan, if I could start with you first as a liquidator. We're officially in a recession. There's probably some bad news coming. In terms of liquidations, are we likely to see many more in the short term, do you think?
Good morning, Richard. I think in the very short term, the numbers of liquidations are suppressed by the state aids that are there at the moment, and also by the fact that revenue aren't pursuing credit or taxpayers, and banks are giving payment holidays. Landlords are afraid to say boo. But you know, as time moves on and those supports fall away, there will be an extraordinary number of companies that find themselves in difficulty. And I think if you look at the reports by the central bank back in March, where they said less than half of small and medium-sized companies had more than 5% of a year's turnover as cash reserves, it's very difficult to believe that those reserves aren't fully depleted at this stage. And that would suggest that there's up to 100,000 companies on the verge of insolvency today.
So, I mean, how many active liquidations might we see? Let's say compared to, if you go back to the early days of the financial crash and those sorts of numbers, would it be as many as that, as bad as that?
Well, in an ordinary year, you expect something like 400 or 500 insolvent liquidations. In the peak of the crash, that went up to around about 1,300 or 1,400. I find it very difficult to believe that we're not going to exceed those numbers in the near enough future. I would have said in March, before the supports came in, that we'd see 1,000 liquidations this year. I don't see that now because of the supports, but I would imagine that next year it's not unthinkable that there'll be well over 1,000 liquidations, perhaps even as many as 2,000.
Which is pretty striking when you compare it with the figures the last time. Jack Kenny, you own One Life Fitness Gyms. You have a few gyms. You opened up a new one in Cork. Just tell me a bit about that.
So we opened up we took over the new one on February 1st. It was a gym that was around in Cork City since 1991. It was called River's Edge Gym. We took it over. We've got two other gyms in the city centre, one called one on South Terrace and one on Camden Quay.
So you were expanding and you
we're
took over this
We're expanding, yeah, and we took over this gym. So we put a lot of work into it in 2019, dealing with the landlord, getting the deal right with the previous owner. And then we got the go-ahead to take it over then on February 1st. So,
and basically you had to close all the gyms.
We had to close all the gyms.
But one of them,
March 20th,
this one went into liquidation.
This one went into liquidation, yeah.
Were you not in a position to hang on as you might have been with the others, or how difficult was that?
We kind of decided because we wanted to double down on the three other locations that we had, and the fact that we didn't really know if, you know, many corporate clients would have came back into the city centre. And some of the we would have relied on a lot of foreign students as well. We were beside a foreign school, and that's we kind of relied on them as our business. So we decided not to kind of overstretch ourselves and go into a brand new business and focus kind of on what we had.
Was
what
it very
had already established?
Was it very disappointing for you? Did you find it difficult to actually shut this down so quickly after taking it over and say that's it?
It was very, very difficult, but between myself, Greg, who's and my business partner Shane, we just decided to kind of stay positive and push forward with the other three gyms because, you know, this we just could have been overstretched with the fort.
Bit of a tough business lesson.
Very tough. Yeah, there was a lot of work. There was a lot of work put into it. But
you're quite a young man. I don't know. You look about 25, I'd say. Are you?
I'm 29.
You're 29.
Yeah, 29.
Yeah. So that I'm sure it wasn't easy to make those decisions to do it. Now, Ethel, when it comes to liquidations and it comes to job losses, and we've seen the difficulties that have arisen for staff and the situation they found themselves in Debenhams. But prior to that, you would have been very heavily involved in the Cleary situation. And I suppose in one sense, what that has shown is that staff can really get caught in the crossfire of a set of circumstances. And it took a very long time, didn't it, to work through the processes to get a better, adequate deal for staff out of that.
Yes, so the Cleary's department store on O'Connell Street in Dublin closed in June 2015. It seems remarkable that it's that much time has passed, but that's when it was closed. And the workers there were dismissed without notice. There wasn't a consultation with the workers in advance of their dismissal. The employer there did not pay the statutory redundancy that the workers were entitled to, or holiday pay that they had accrued, or didn't pay their minimum notice statutory entitlement. And the employer's insolvency there was preceded by, it was a tactical insolvency, preceded by the separation of a principal property asset from the operating company. And effectively, the operating company was the employer. And when it went insolvent, then the state had to pick up the tab for paying the statutory redundancy entitlement of the workers.
And in a way, it highlighted a lot of issues that can arise. And I know that after there were recommendations made to avoid that sort of thing happening again.
It did. So the Cleary's workers at that time had two demands, really. One was a just settlement for themselves, which was achieved. SIP2 negotiated a settlement, which is confidential, so I won't go into it. But the workers were satisfied with the terms of that. But they also said they ran a campaign, a Change the Law campaign, because they truly did not want what happened to them to happen to other workers. And we said at that time that this would happen again to workers if the legislation wasn't changed. And indeed, we do see that now with 1,000 workers in Debenhams and over 200 workers employed by the Sisters of Charity.
So what would you like to have seen done then?
So at that time, two very eminent experts in the area, one in employment law, the chairperson of the Labour Court, Kevin Duffy, and one in company law, the barrister, Nessa Cahill, looked at the Cleary's closure and similar closures, actually Connolly Shoes, and there were others, HMV, Talk, LaSenza. And they issued the Duffy-Cahill report in April 2016, which actually sets out the solution for politicians. And it is complex because there's an intersection here between company law and employment law. But there are very, very specific proposals in the Duffy-Cahill report.
One proposal, let's say, what would be the main proposal that you think would have made the biggest difference?
Oh, without doubt, it is that in an insolvency situation that the employer would still be required to consult with employees in advance. So say, for example, one of the terrible consequences of the pandemic is there are job losses in the Irish economy now. And as a trade union, we're dealing with those. And in the vast majority of cases, in the companies that we deal with, we sit down and we negotiate. We work through that 30-day consultation period and we negotiate appropriate redundancy terms.
When you look forward from this point, Ethel, and Declan was saying about more liquidations probably coming. We may well see quite a few next year in particular. Do you think we're going to see more strike action?
Well, I think what we should focus on today is a call on politicians to legislate for the Duffy-Cahill report. Because in these very difficult insolvency situations, such as Debenhams, as you mentioned, or the Sisters of Charity, if politicians were to legislate for the proposals that are in the Duffy-Cahill, actually we wouldn't be in this situation. They would address the difficulties that arise for workers.
Okay. Just on that point, Declan, would something like that work? Is that... practical? Is it realistic? Could you see it happening?
Ethel and I were speaking about this before we came into the studio. We probably have a different interpretation of the report. And I suppose the position where a company goes into liquidation is all the liquidator can do for the employees is apply the law as it stands, which is that they get their statutory redundancy amount and a certain amount in respect of arrears of wages, if any exist, pay in lieu of notice and holiday pay. So all of the amounts that they're statutorily entitled to, and the state funds that. In the first instance, it comes back as a claim into the liquidation afterwards. So in those circumstances, given that all the liquidator is allowed to do is to provide the statutory amounts, it's difficult to see what there could be to discuss.
So you're saying that the liquidator doesn't really have any discretion in relation to it. But I just want to come back to it, when you look forward and you were talking about liquidations coming down the track. Is there a better way of avoiding that? In other words, is it possible for businesses and people running companies to restructure earlier instead of leaving things till the last minute and then pulling the plug on it, perhaps, that they could actually see when something is coming down the track? Now, unlike in Jack's case, because he had a lockdown, it was gone. It was just that was it. But businesses that have been around a long time, they may have scope to look at restructuring in advance.
They may, and I've been banging a drum about this for a long time now. In Ireland, we have an examinership process. It's enormously expensive. It was reviewed in 2012 by the Company Law Review Group, and the first line of their report was that the examinership wasn't suitable for small and medium-sized companies because it's simply too expensive. So I think we need to come back to that and review that legislation and look at how examinership can be made available to small companies, and we'll be doing that anyway in the context of there's an EU regulation that has to be implemented. So between now and next July, there will be changes to examinership law. But even outside of that, if company directors recognise that they're in difficulty at an early stage and approach their creditors with a reasonable proposal, then in many cases, the creditors will agree. What we see very frequently is that directors have recognised that they're in difficulty or that their company is in difficulty. They've put personal money in without a restructuring. And the underlying problem hasn't been addressed. So that personal money gets burnt.
Right. We have one text or a tweet there. David tweeted, "Surely workers deserve fairness and justice after a company liquidates. Too much to ask?"
Oh, certainly not. Absolutely, they deserve fairness and justice. And what is fair and just isn't for the liquidator to determine. The Oireachtas have enacted legislation that prescribes certain amounts that should be paid to employees, and all that a liquidator can do is apply the law as it stands.
And it's limited to do that. Jack, just finally to you, the experience of having to put that gym into liquidation hasn't put you off business or anything like that? How's business been going with the other gyms?
The other gyms are doing well, because I think it's in this time it's very good for people mentally to be training in a gym. But it was a hard experience. It was a very, very hard experience, and hopefully we don't have to revisit it again. So,
and things will be going okay. Yep. Thank you very much for joining us, liquidator Declan De Lacy, Jack Kenny of One Life Fitness Gyms, and Ethel Buckley of SIP2.